Or you can hit us up on the YouTube chat like Derek Zaragoza. His idea for someone to play Brock Purdy is Tom Holland, which is
brilliant.
Tremendous.
Brilliant.
The Spider-Man kid. That's a great call right
there. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Derek. Yeah, Drive Guys here. We are just moments away from the announcement of who the NBA All-Star Reserves will be. Drapes, do you have, are you capable of monitoring this as well as this is being announced?
Yes, I got the TV up right here. I can see it a little bit. Yeah, so I am monitoring it also.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the game last night and then we'll get to these announcements as soon as they become available. I thought Drapes last night was a classic example of how, you know, basketball, your offense, your defense go hand in hand. The Kings really struggled defensively, which they just do. We know that. So the best way to beat a zone is to beat the zone down the floor. When you can't get stops, you got to take the ball out of the net. Mm-hmm. The other team, they're able to get pressure on your backcourt and set up their zone. So I thought the Kings' poor defense made it a lot harder for them offensively to attack that zone last night.
No, you're right about that. You know, you got to get some transition buckets before it sets up.
Yeah.
That zone sets up. That, you know, I saw you tweeted that out also. They did have 22 fast break points, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right about that. Let me look at the second half numbers because I would venture that number went way down in the second half. They had 8 fast break points in the second half. So there you go. 14 in the first half, 8 in the second half. Miami, I mentioned earlier, shot close to 53% in that second half. And it's just, you're right. If you're not getting stops, it's hard to run. And if it's hard to run, it's hard to beat that zone before it gets set up.
Do you think it's realistic to think that via trade or by any other measures, the Kings can significantly improve their defense? Because I just think, given the nature of the league right now, I mean, you got to work on it, but I don't know how realistic that is.
You know, I think when you look at, you know, what makes a great defensive team, I think you need positional length. And, you know, as they're naming the All-Stars right now, Kawhi Leonard, you need positional length. You look at the Celtics, the way they, you know, their wingspans are bigger than most. And so who's that guy out there, you know, that can help you shrink the floor? I don't know if you can address that right now. I don't think... And, you know, I go back to that, you know, conversation I had with Ron Adams, you know, to succeed in the NBA, you need two-way players, high-level two-way players, and those guys just don't grow on trees. I think every team in the NBA is looking for more defensive help, especially in today's day and age of all this scoring. And so I think it's going to be tough to fix with just one guy.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and as we'll discuss with Matt Barnes, and as we discussed yesterday, whenever it was, everybody in the NBA right now, virtually every team is struggling defensively because people are just scoring points in bunches. I think you're a little bit ahead of us, Kyle, with the announcements. Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis.
Davis. Yep. That's what I got. Yep. Uh-huh. That's what I got so far.
All right.
And that's an interesting one because Anthony Davis in that front court spot, you know, to me, that's competition for Domantas Sabonis to make it. Kenny DeSmith is announcing another All-Star right now. And so you got Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and Devin Booker.
Ooh,
that's tough. That's tough. So that's 3 of the 7 that they're going to announce here tonight so far.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it's really unfortunate that tonight you got the Celtics and the Lakers, and you got no LeBron, and you got no Anthony Davis. So that kind of takes some of the air out of that balloon, doesn't it, for tonight?
Yeah, and then look at the second matchup as well. You know, you got Philadelphia and Utah, no Joel Embiid. And so if you're Adam Silver, this is your marquee night. You're naming all these All-Stars. And you got 3 guys who won't play tonight. 3, you know, MVP-level players that won't play tonight. Anthony Edwards just named an All-Star also. So that's 4 of the 7. We got 3 spots left. Remember, they're going to do 2 guards, 3 front court guys, and then 2 wild card picks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, too, real quick. You know, you still got a week or so, you know, a couple of weeks before All-Star weekend. Last year, De'Aaron Fox, if I'm correct, got in because of injury.
Right.
And so just because it may not be named tonight doesn't necessarily mean, you know, those guys won't be asked at some point over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, to the point you made about so many players not playing tonight, and which is very unfortunate. Anthony Davis and LeBron, this is not load management, right? These guys, according to reports, they're legitimately injured. As we know, Joel Embiid is as well.
Yeah. Those guys were questionable coming in. And then, aren't able to go as Steph Curry makes an all-star. And we knew Steph was going to make it. You and I, as much as I think Darren deserves it more than Steph, it's Steph Curry. We knew he was going to make it. So that's five guys. Here we go. Shaq is about to, announce it here. Paul George, Oh, man.
All right. So one spot left. Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker.
One spot left.
Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry, Paul George are the six reserves so far. Will a king crack the roster for the All-Stars?
Wow.
Hmm.
Oh, man, we're watching this live just like everybody else, bringing you – I think it comes down to, somebody from Minnesota. I think, whether it's Towns or Gobert or DeMontis Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, I think it's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah.
Ernie Johnson is set to do the honors right here, and he's pausing, dramatic pause going on right now. And here we go.
And the final All-Star.
Did he say Karl Anthony Towns?
Let's see.
Wow, Carl Anthony, we got robbed. Unbelievable. I told you this, Whitey, last week. Carl Anthony Towns makes it over DeMontis. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That our guy, DeMontis Sabonis, did not get named. And what is so upsetting about this is that this is the coaches doing the picking.
Yes.
This isn't the media. This isn't fans. This is the coaches who are supposed to know the game. All those guys are having great season. I don't want to take away from anybody. Carl Anthony Towns, I said it last week, he's having a great season. But DeMontis Sabonis leads the NBA in double-doubles, second behind Jokic in triple-doubles. And for him to not get an all-star nod, to me, that is disrespectful. Unbelievable. The Lakers got two all-stars. And they're at 500. Mm-hmm. The Warriors got an all-star. Winning obviously does not matter when it comes to all-star teams. Unbelievable. I'm shocked.
I think Minnesota got a little bit of the benefit of whatever it was that led to the Kings getting two last year, that new kid on the block. Yeah. Like, ooh, Minnesota's a great story. It's funny because Anthony Edwards was asked last night, I guess, about the all-stars. He said, I don't care. I just hope that Rudy Gobert makes it. Well, Rudy Gobert didn't make it. Cat getting the nod. Would you have been a little more comfortable with it if Rudy Gobert had gotten it over Cat?
No, because I think Cat's had a tremendous season. Like, I don't begrudge Karl Anthony Towns from getting there. He's had a tremendous year. I just think my guy DeMontis Sabonis should have been over somebody. Over Paul George, maybe in over, a second Minnesota guy, over Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis playing tremendous, fantastic. He's a beast. He's legit.
Charles
so
Barkley.
DeMontis Sabonis.
I'm sorry, pardon me. Charles Barkley, his own picks. He had Fox and Sabonis. Kenny had Fox. And I think Ernie Johnson also had Sabonis making the team, for what that's worth, their own personal selections. But we'll see. As you say, I mean, looking at this, it's hard to know for sure, but things can still happen. There's a very good chance that at least one or two or maybe even more spots open up between now and the All-Star game. So maybe the Kings still have a chance, but I'm glad that they get some rest, but it is disappointing because it doesn't seem just. It's wrong. The Kings got snubbed.
Right. And here's the thing. We mentioned it. Domas is having better numbers, a better year than he did last year when he was an all-star. And so I get it. Minnesota's playing well, best team in the Western Conference. I get it. But man, I'm shocked. And this is the problem I have. And I mentioned this earlier regarding the coaches. Are they really watching? Are they really paying it? And I know the West coaches vote for the Western Conference, East coaches vote for the Eastern Conference, but when you think of All-Star, you think De'Aaron Fox when it comes to Sacramento, like best player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if they thought, all right, we'll put in De'Aaron Fox, but then you got Steph Curry, you got Devin Booker, you got Anthony Edwards. I don't know. For Sacramento not to get anybody, and they're having a pretty decent season, the top six season, you got three guys. Let me see. Hold on. Three guys that are below you in the standings who got in.
Mm-hmm.
You got Anthony Davis and LeBron, obviously. Steph Curry is below you. I don't know. I'm disgusted right now.
Emma Drock points out, he says, D-Fox and Sabonis were picked by Kenny and Barkley. Compio says Shaq had Sabonis, but I'm with Eli McFly on the YouTube chat. Says All-Star game is a distraction. We need to rest up over the break, get that mindset ready for the second half. I said earlier, Kyle, that I wouldn't be too upset if the Kings didn't get it because there's a lot of upside there. It feels wrong, but so what? Sabonis and Fox, assuming they don't get in the injury, they will have their revenge on the NBA in the second half of this season.
Exactly. Motivation. You talked about it earlier. Chip on the shoulder. Let's go. I'm excited. Yeah. All right. At least our guys won't be there. And then now Domas and De'Aaron, they can spend time with their family, their young children, and go to a beach somewhere and relax. I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm. More on today's All-Star selections. Also, bottom of the hour, we've got former NBA All-Star James Donaldson. It's all coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. Well, how you feeling, Kings fans, about today's announcement on All-Star reserves? The seven Western Conference reserves are Anthony Edwards, Minnesota; Steph Curry, Warriors; Paul George, Clippers; Kawhi Leonard, Clippers; Anthony Davis, Lakers; and Devin Booker, Phoenix Suns, along with Carl Anthony Towns. So Kyle Draper coming to us from Indianapolis today. I'm surprised that Domas wasn't selected.
I am too. I mean, like, you look at the numbers, you look at the impact. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is having a great season. But here's the thing, and I know Minnesota is good. Towns, 22.7 points. Domas is right there at basically 20 points per game. Carl Anthony Towns, 8.7 rebounds. Domas killing him in that.
Mm-hmm.
Carl
mm-hmm.
Anthony Towns, 3.1 assists. Domas is killing him on that.
Mm-hmm.
Cat, 44.3% from three. Well, Domas is right there as well. He's having a career year from three. And so to not get one All-Star, I just think, you know, and maybe the problem isn't Carl Anthony Towns. Maybe I shouldn't be mad at Carl Anthony Towns making it, because they are, you know, tops in the West. They're a great team. You know, maybe it's Anthony Davis, who's at 25 points and 12 rebounds and 3.7 assists. Maybe it's at it's Paul George, who, you know, is only just a few games ahead of Sacramento. And so, you know, Paul George, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3. I feel like our guys got snubbed. Definitely Domas got snubbed this year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way around it. But bottom line, and I know some people on the chat at least feel this way, I think we're good with this. I mean, it's wrong, so you can react any way you want. But for me, I honestly think, basketball-wise, the Kings benefit from this. They can really benefit from both those guys, Fox and Sabonis, getting some downtime. How much of a difference will it make? You can't really quantify that. But, I mean, it's not hard to imagine that that's really good for both of them. Plus the added fact that maybe one or both are even more motivated in the second half to show the NBA that they were wrong. And then thirdly, like I said, it's a stinking All-Star game. It doesn't matter. Who cares? The All-Star game is stupid. I think I speak for a lot of Kings fans when I say, we don't care. The All-Star game's stupid. That's how we feel, right?
It may be stupid, but when you talk about legacy, it means something, Whitey.
Yeah.
You know, when you can say 10-time All-Star, 8-time All-Star, you know, 15-time All-Star, whatever it may be, LeBron James, 20-time All-Star. Like, it means something. And I know the actual game is dumb. The weekend is dumb. Like, it's no fun. But the word All-Star, you go to a basketball reference page right now. I'm on De'Aaron Fox basketball reference page right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the top thing you see? One-time All-Star, 2022-23 All-NBA. These things matter, man. And I wish our guys got more recognition because they're having hell of a seasons.
The only thing I can think of with Domas is, as we've discussed, the fact that Minnesota's having a fine year, somebody felt, or the coaches at large felt like, well, that should be rewarded. I think you and I differ on that, actually, to me, having a good first half of the season, that's nice, but I don't think you should be compelled to pick All-Stars based on what they've done for basically half a season. But that's got to be what it was. And, I mean, on some level, it has to do also with the visibility of the Kings as a franchise. Karl Anthony Towns is probably better known, right? And just in terms of the magnitude of star, not about how good a basketball player you are. Karl Anthony Towns, high pick. He's a bigger star, if you will, in terms of how well-known he is than Domas. That probably shouldn't matter, but clearly it does.
No, it definitely does. And, you know, it's name recognition, right? It's the reason why the Kings-Clippers game on April 2nd was taken off TNT and Warriors-Mavericks was put on. It's Luka, Steph Curry, like the name recognition. And so I don't know what we can base the All-Star on, though, then, Whitey. If you can't base it on the first half of the season, is it just, you know, who we think are the best players? Or, like, how do you earn your way into All-Star play then?
To me, it's – and I agree to a degree with Hollinger, who says, who's the best player? But who's having – who go back and view the last – since the last All-Star game. I don't know, but I don't see how – and I know you agree. I know Kings fans agree. I'm not sure how you could pick someone over Sabonis, what the justification is. Some people in the chat here are saying, well, it's AD. AD got Sabonis' spot. I don't have a problem with AD being an All-Star. I know the Lakers are not having a good year, but Anthony Davis is an incredible player. Karl Anthony Towns, to me, there's no way he should make an All-Star team over Domas. By what measure? And the only thing I think of as well, his team's having a great year. Well, you could argue there's another guy on the team that's more deserving than Karl Anthony Towns. So that's just the way it is.
Let me ask you, because I think we both feel, you know, Domas has been snubbed. Like, why did the coaches get it wrong then? Like, what is, like, these are the people that's supposed to be in the know. They scout, they prepare, they, you know, and like, what do they see in Karl Anthony Towns that they didn't see in Domantas Sabonis? Is it just the team's record, do you think, is ultimately what it came down to? Like Minnesota, as great as they are, best team in the Western Conference, oh, well, they got to have two All-Stars.
I'll bet you it's that, and it's also this. I think coaches look at the Kings and go, Sabonis is having a nice year, but he's not even their best player. You know, and I, you know, don't you think? I mean, you're trying to view this through the minds of people who voted. That would make it easy to, well, shoot, who should I pick here? Well, I mean, he's having a good year, but he's not even their best player. There's also this. Hollinger wrote a couple days ago, and he wrote this after the votes had already been in, but he said Sabonis's numbers are up, but viewed against the way all other numbers in the NBA are up, he's a little behind where he was last year relative to the league. Now that's, you know, that's, you're going to hurt yourself stretching like that.
Right.
But maybe that was part of the thinking. It's, I don't know. I mean, you lead the league in rebounding and you're having the, putting up all the triple doubles. How are you not an All-Star? I don't get it.
Yeah. It's shocking. Now the end makes a good point. If Minnesota was fifth and Kings were first, Sabonis would be in for sure. And I agree.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
It's just the fact that our guy isn't being recognized for how great he is and how hard he's playing and the kind of season he's having. I mean, and I've gone on and on about this. I don't consider Anthony Davis a center per se. And so I look at Domantas Sabonis as the third best center in the league behind Embiid and Jokic. For what he does for this team, you take him off, oh my gosh, like the Sacramento Kings would look entirely different. And I, you know, who knows, he still might go or something, but
yeah.
I'm at the point now, if you're De'Aaron Fox and Domas and they come to you, hey, can you be an injury replacement? I might be like, nah, I'm, you know, like you said earlier, this is a time to rest, recuperate, use it as motivation, spend time with family. I don't know if I would want to go to Indiana, especially since they've been there before as All-Stars.
Mm-hmm. Remember we talked to Mark Boyle, the Pacer announcer, because they had Domas for many of his most productive years. And we asked him, why do people overlook him? And, you know, De'Aaron Fox has been talking about that. And Mark Boyle's like, I don't know. I mean, that's just the nature of him for some reason, because he's a undersized center by his own admission. I don't know. People just don't, they don't give him the respect that his numbers suggest he deserves. It's baffling, but it just seems to be the way people look at him. I don't know. And clearly, coaches looked at him that way as well here. How you could overlook him right now, there's something else at work. I don't understand what it is. Even the whole TNT crew said Sabonis should be. It's kind of obvious. I'm okay with it. You know, it's fine for him and for the team, but you have to look at it and go, I don't understand how it happened.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. Yeah. You know, a guy averaging 20 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. You know, there's only one other player in the league history to have those numbers when it's all said and done, and that was Will Chamberlain. And, like, I just, you know, this is the most baffling decision I could see. You know, I thought Sacramento definitely deserved one. And Domas has been wildly consistent this year. Like, he you know, you could just mark it down. I mean, with the 29 double-doubles, I mean, straight double-doubles. Like, this dude is a model of consistency. And for the coaches to disrespect that, that's what I could understand. Media, I could understand fans, because he's not flashy. He's not a name like, you know, some of these other guys. But for the coaches, the people who are supposed to know the league best, to get this wrong, you know, it's upsetting.
It's very surprising. Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, the East reserves, also Jalen Brunson, Bam Adebayo, Julius Randle, Tyrese Maxey, and Paolo, your Eastern Conference reserves, also just announced today.
Unbelievable. I'm just...
You're going to be all right.
I thought we'd get at least... It'll be okay. You know, I'm going on vacation during All-Star Week, and they ask me, hey, Kyle, you want to go to All-Star this year? I'm like, no, I'm good, you know. And so our guys won't be there anyway other than Keegan Murray, so I'm good. I'm going to take it as vacation also.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to a gentleman who was an All-Star. He's also a 2024 Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame inductee. Played 14 years in the league. Out of Luther Burbank High, James Donaldson joins us when the Drive Guys come right back on Sacktown Sports. Well, well, well. Thanks for being with us, Drive Guys. Kyle Draper in Indianapolis. We just heard the announcement on the NBA All-Star Reserves, and you should probably know by now, De'Aaron Fox wasn't selected, nor was Domantas Sabonis. So Kings fans dealing with that. I think, yeah, as we said, Kyle, and as we know, there's some upside there. It just feels like, hey, that's not right. At least one of them should have made the All-Star team.
One of them. And, you know, somebody put it succinctly on Twitter here. Let me pull it up. Because our guy Frankie Cardicelli, you know, he said, for a Kings team that is currently 27-19 behind the incredible play of Domas and Fox, this is a miss. DeMarcus Cousins used to get snubbed due to Sacramento's record. Not sure what the excuse is now. I don't know what the excuse is now. It's baffling to me. Domas is one of the top five big men in the entire NBA, and yet he's not even an All-Star. It's shocking to me.
Yeah, somebody on the chat, I think, may have hit the nail on the head, and I apologize. We're getting so many comments here, it's hard to keep up with them. So don't mean to disrespect you. I just can't remember who said it. You know, a lot of being an All-Star is about scoring, and Domas is a good scorer, but, you know, he's – In a time when so many guys are putting up monster numbers, he's not one of those guys. And I'm not saying it's right, but maybe that's one of the reasons people felt like Cat, who just put up, what, 63, whatever it was, in a losing effort last week, maybe they feel like, you know, that's what it takes to be an All-Star. I don't know, but these are coaches. They're supposed to know better.
they're supposed to know better. These are the guys that watch the games, that prepare for the games, that scout the players. They are supposed to know better. You're 100% right. And it's just shocking to me that our guys are being disrespected again. It's, you know, if you know, Domas played for the Lakers, he'd be an All-Star right now. You know, that's just a fact. And it's just upsetting to me.
Yeah, speaking of disrespecting, Megadeth Knight asks, Drapes, couldn't they even put some oil paintings on the wall for you?
There's a few of them over here. It's just the angle that I'm on. I wanted to be able to see the TV and do the show as well, because I knew, you know, this was a big day with the All-Star announcement. There's a couple of them over there. It's brutal, though, man. It looks pretty dim in here, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of All-Stars, our next guest was an All-Star. You know, this Sunday, Thunder Valley, the 2024 Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame class will be inducted. And that class will include our next guest, 14-year NBA vet, 1988 NBA All-Star, from Luther Burbank High, James Donaldson with us on The Drive, guys. James, how are you today, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm doing just great. How you doing today down there?
We're doing great. We're good. Wondering, you know, we're Kings fans are upset because Sabonis was not named an All-Star. You were an All-Star, so do you have some kind of clout? Can you call somebody and have them change that or something, James?
Unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, it's very subjective. It's a popularity contest. It's name recognition. It's a lot of other things other than who is really, you know, the All-Star and the best players in the top 24 players in the league. A lot more goes into it than just that. Sorry about that.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah.
James, but he is one, obvious. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he is one of the top 24, so he should be there. You know, if he got slighted this year, chances are they'll make it up and get him next year. Maybe okay, so. How about that?
Okay. All right, that's
hey, motivation, right? Let me ask you, though, because, you know, following up with Whitey said, you're an All-Star in the 88. How important do you think it is to players to be recognized in that way?
Well, you know, it's the highest individual achievement honor. I mean, recognition. Basketball, like most other sports, is a very team sport. I was very much a team player. And so for me, it took me a little out of my comfort zone to be recognized for individual accomplishments. I was a vital part of our Dallas Mavericks teams back in the late 80s. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have been as good if I didn't do my job as well as I did it. But we had other players, too. I mean, you know, Mark Aguirre, who made the All-Star team with me, but Rolando Blackman and Sam Perkins and Derek Harper, Dudley Shrimp. We had terrific players all the way around. And that's what I mean with Sabonis. I mean, I was the one fortunate enough to get recognized and pulled out of that group. And, you know, my advice to him and all the other guys who are playing, don't ever let up. Keep on playing the best you can because you never know who's watching and you never know who you're impressing when it comes time to make those individual recognitions.
James Donaldson with us. He'll be inducted into the 2024, he'll be inducted as part of the 2024 class into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame this Sunday at Thunder Valley. The NBA All-Star game these days, it's not very competitive. No one wants to play defense. Now, you know, I understand that, but how competitive was the All-Star game when you played in it, James?
Oh, very. I mean, the guys were serious. I was recalling the other day, looking up and down that Western Conference locker room I was in with Kareem and Magic and Worthy and Hakeem Olajuwon and Karl Malone, John Stockton, Clyde Drexler. I mean, we just had that's all-star, every single one of them. And, you know, and we were very competitive back then. I mean, the guys wanted to play. They wanted to play hard. They wanted to win. We played in the Chicago Stadium against Michael Jordan and the Eastern Conference All-Stars. Michael was the MVP. So we really went out there to put on the show. I mean, we're not just showing off, but playing hard, trying to stop each other, trying to embarrass the other guys, but not hurt each other. We're playing and having a good time. And the best players always rise to the occasion, and that was Michael Jordan with the MVP that year.
James Donaldson joining us, former All-Star in the NBA, 1988 All-Star as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. James, I'm looking at your basketball reference page, and one thing I see, especially to start your career, is your durability. 82 games in 82, 82 and 83, five straight years. Hey, even one year you played 83 games.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, just how much of a badge of honor that was back then versus what we're seeing now where the NBA has to institute this 65-game minimum rule just to be qualified for awards.
Yes. You know, it bothers me to no end seeing this load management, they call it. You know, people, especially nowadays, but even back in our day, you're paying 70, 80, 100 bucks for a ticket down the lower bowl area, and your favorite player or the best player doesn't play that night. I would be so slighted with that. And so it really bothers a lot of us older guys. I'm part of the old NBA Retired Players Association. And, you know, all of us took a lot of pride in playing every single night. You know, you talk about my durability. Look at John Stockton. I think he only missed 12 games in like 18 years. I mean, that's just incredible. A little guy like him who was so durable. But all the guys were like that. We played hard. I took a lot of pride night after night after night, playing through colds and flus and bumps and bruises and days you just didn't feel good, but you still went out there and laced it up and kept going. So that's the difference between today's game and the game of yesteryear. But again, we didn't get paid as handsomely as they do now. When you get $20, $30, $40 million in your bank and you really haven't shown yourself to be the best player, where's your motivation? Mm. Where's your incentive to go out and keep on trying to earn that and trying to prove that you deserve that? I think that all goes out the window. And that's the shame with professional sports now, NFL, baseball to some extent, NBA. The big money has come in and the fans are being left behind.
James Donaldson is with us. He's going to be inducted in the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. James, was there ever a time in your career, 14 years in the league, ever a time when you came close to becoming a Sacramento King?
I always hoped so. I always wanted to. I don't know if there's ever any discussion. I remember when my old Dallas Maverick coach, Dick Motta, went over and coached the Kings a little bit. I think one of his assistants was there as well, Bobby Weiss. I mean, a lot of guys went through there that I knew as coaches. They all were fond of me. But, you know, I was such a valuable part to that Dallas Maverick team for 7 years that Dallas wasn't going to let me go until I was at the end of all of that. And then I bounced around to the Knicks for a year and then to the Jazz for a couple of years. I never made it back home. I always wanted to play in Sacramento. I thought that would have been just the perfect icing on the cake.
James, what will this weekend mean to you to be inducted into the Sacramento Athletics Hall of Fame?
Well, again, like I said, I never did all this for individual recognition, but it is a recognition by the fans, by the Sacramento community, of me coming out of there. This is nearly 50 years ago. I graduated in 75, and here we are in 24, so that's 49 years of being recognized as one of the best players to come out of Sacramento. I had no idea Sacramento had such a rich sports history and sports legacy of great players coming out of there. I mean, I knew a lot of baseball guys, track and field and those kind of things, but not so much basketball, NFL, but now I see the lineups of the previous inductees and I'm like, wow, these guys are just terrific. Sacramento's been such a hotbed, a breeding ground. So for me, it's just, I think, recognition of a job well done by the fans, by people who know the game. For me, it's a lasting legacy. Long after I'm gone, I'll still be, displayed there somehow in the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame, and that's just going to be terrific.
Well, we congratulate you on the honor, James. We very much appreciate your time. Enjoy this weekend. Thanks very much for your time. We hope to talk to you again real soon, sir.
I sure will. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day. Go, Kings. Keep
going. All right. James Donaldson.
It, James. Thanks, man.
With some words of encouragement for Domas and Kings fans. Easy for him to say. He made the All-Star team. I know Domas did last year. Yeah. But there's a center.
But I'm sure they were watching or something, like wondering if he was going to make it. Hey, you know, you got to make plans and everything.
Yeah.
Now he figures, all right, I'm free for the week. I can actually book that trip.
Yeah. Oh, you think Domas and De'Aaron are going to take this out on the Pacers tomorrow night? Huh? Ooh. Huh?
Ooh,
can we go there?
Should. Yeah? Somebody in the chat said Kings by 20 tomorrow.
Yeah.
I hope so.
There we go. when we come right back, the NBA has an official stance on offensive eruptions and the future of the game. We'll let you know what that is when we come right back here. Drive Guys Sacktown Sports. All right, Drapes, we have an update on Joel Embiid. We have the results of his MRI, they're not great, but I think they could be worse. Drive Guys here, Kyle Draper in Indianapolis, and we're still, you know, kind of helping each other through the disappointing news that no Kings have been announced to the All-Star roster, at least not yet. But Joel Embiid underwent an MRI that revealed lateral meniscus tear? An injury. I don't even know if they're calling it a tear. An injury to the lateral meniscus in his left knee, the team has announced today. So he'll be out through the weekend while a treatment plan is finalized. Pardon me for not being clear there, but I assumed it was a tear, and I realized as I read this, it's an injury to the lateral meniscus in his left knee. They're not even saying it's a tear. He'll be out through the weekend, as I said, while a treatment plan is finalized. So we're not sure what's going on, Drapes, but Joel Embiid is going to be out for a little bit at least.
Yeah, and it could have been much worse. So this is, I think, good news. But I feel for Embiid because, he's the MVP of the league. I don't care if he plays 60 games or 70 games. Like, to me, he would have been the MVP this year. And the Sixers, I think this is one of their best shots at actually getting at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, where Joel Embiid has not been. And to see the big man go down like that the other day against Golden State, it hurts. And obviously, I'm a Sixers guy from Philadelphia, and I want him to do well. But, man, it's a tough go for Joel Embiid, because he was having, arguably the best season from a center's perspective since I can't even remember the last center that averaged 35 points per game. I'd have to look up Shaq or maybe even going before then, really.
Elvin Hayes or somebody. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Elvin Hayes.
Yeah. So we'll see. But obviously it's going to depend on the extent of the injury and the damage. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, obviously, anymore. But I don't know what damage you can do to a meniscus, which is like the lining, besides tearing it. But if it's a minor injury, it can be patched up. But there's no way of knowing. I'm with you, though. It sounds like it's actually very good news. There's no reason why, if it's a minor injury, why that can't be repaired and he'd be out a while. But he should be able to fully recover from that if it's minor before the playoffs start.
Yeah, what did you make of did you hear what Kendrick Perkins said yesterday, and then he reiterated it today?
I was going to ask you about your buddy. Yeah, Kendrick Perkins. What did he says, if I'm the Sixers, I shut Joel Embiid down for the year?
I'm like, what?
That's your friend.
No, that is my guy, and I may have to text him and be like, yo, you got to come on the show and explain yourself. I know he's super-duper busy. I feel like he's on every ESPN show there is. I totally disagree with him. The Sixers, their goals are still within reach. Maybe give them 2 to 3 weeks off to get healthy, but, to shut them down for the year, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Not only is that your friend, that's your protege, right? I mean, he learned everything he does from you, right?
Right. He learned the entertainment aspect of it. Not necessarily the hot, like, his opinions are not my opinions, that's for sure. He didn't learn that from me. But he got us talking, and that's what he learned from me, how to entertain people.
And his thinking was, I heard the audio today, Styles and Watkins played it. He basically said, if he sits out the whole rest of the year, he comes back next year, he can be healthy. But, there's no reason why, if this is a minor injury, why he can't be as healthy as he can be.
Right.
For this year, yeah. The playoffs. And you just, you don't get that many chances. A guy that good, if he can go, you got to go and take a shot at it. I just don't know if that team is currently constituted is even good enough to come out of the East, let alone win everything.
No, I don't know. And, we talked earlier this season when they made the James Harden trade, like they got some movable assets. They got some first round picks. They got some, expiring contracts. And so, they should have been on the Pascal Siakam sweepstakes, or, maybe they go out and get a guy like Zach LaVine or somebody like that. I think they need one more piece really to put them over the top.
Yeah. So
but ultimately, you know what, Whitey, though, sorry to interrupt, ultimately I've watched Embiid his whole career. He needs to be better in the playoffs. He turtled last year against the Celtics down the stretch, same way James Harden did. And so you could bring in whoever you want. If Joel Embiid doesn't play like the best player on the court, it's curtains for the Sixers. And so he has to exercise those demons, I think, as well.
Yeah, he'll be out through the weekend while a treatment plan is finalized, so we should know more next week. Now, as far as the crazy scoring in the NBA, which certainly Joel Embiid has been a part of, scoring 70 recently. This is from, we're going to have Matt Barnes on in a bit here, from his All the Smoke podcast. Steven Jackson on the podcast said that, I haven't checked these numbers, I assume they're correct. Between 1985 and 2004, there were 8 60-plus point games in the NBA. And in the last 13 months, there have been 9. So, you know, offense is going through the roof. And Captain Jack was saying, no one's playing defense anymore. And he said that in a language more colorful than I could share here more than once. You can say anything on the radio. You can just say it once. But Joe Dumars actually, on behalf of the league, had to give out a statement on this with all the scoring going up and up and up. Joe Dumars, NBA's executive VP and head of basketball ops, says, it's where the game is today. It's the pace of the game. It's the amount of threes guys are shooting now. You're going to have some offensive eruptions like that. So the league is feeling like, yeah, it's just the way the game's going. We're crazy about it. It's great. Everyone loves it. What do you think as far as the future of the league?
Now, you know, I like it. I like where the league is from an aesthetic standpoint, from a ball movement standpoint, from an assist standpoint. I think we've gotten, you know, away from, you know, before Steph Curry and the Warriors, like, it was really stagnant, I thought. Like, I thought it was really ISO heavy. I'm shocked. What did you say? 9 over the last
That's what Steven Jackson said. Between 85 and 04, there were 8 60-plus point games. Last 13 months, there have been 9. And again, I haven't double-checked that, but that's as you know, I mean, just recently we had Luka score 73, Embiid scored 70, Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, he scored 62. That's just in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm shocked it hasn't been more, to be honest with you, though, Whitey. With the proliferation of the three-point line, like, I'm shocked, you know, guys aren't hitting 8, 9, 10 threes per game. Like, I thought scoring, you know, would definitely go up and you'd have more individual efforts. You know, you look at, you know, this year is an anomaly, obviously, but if you look at previous years, like 60 was the magic number. And especially with how good these superstars are and how much their offense is tailored to them. I mean, I'm shocked that it hasn't been more, to be honest with you. You know, what Luka did was truly amazing. I don't think 73 in today's game is as impressive as 70 back in the 80s, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when David Robinson went off, what did he score? 72, I think it was, on the final day of him. George Gervin did it also. I think scoring nowadays is so much easier. First of all, the three-point line. You are not allowed to hand check and play defense like you did. And I'm okay with that. People want to see scoring, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to this. It's just, it's not that no one's playing defense anymore. It's just a lot harder to play effective defense in the NBA than it's ever been. If you ever go back and, you know, you look at like hardwood classics, which, you know, I like to do, but you just look at stuff from, you know, 70s, 80s, it's incredible. Everything is happening offensively. All the action is inside the top of the key, basically. And now it's so spread out. And you have guys who can shoot, legitimately shoot the basketball from 30 feet. I mean, not like heave it, but shoot it. So if you're trying to guard somebody, all right, you got to draw and kick. And it's, all right, you got to either defend the guy who drives to the basket, or when he passes it, you have to defend the guy who's 32 feet from the basket. And it's just physically impossible, right? And he'll knock that shot down.
It's definitely more difficult to guard. Think about it. Like you said, like the guarding radius of back in the day, you know, it was like inside the three-point line. Mm-hmm. Now, and I've been in the team meetings, they're talking about you got to pick up guys as soon as they cross midcourt. Mm-hmm. And then the floor is so spread out. And so that's another reason why scoring has been so easy. You know, what is the perfect balance, though? Because we don't want to go back to the 90s with the Knicks and Heat and 83, 78 NBA Finals games and things like that. But then you look at a team like, let's say, the Atlanta Hawks when Luka went off. You know, I keep always bringing them up. You know, defense is optional out there. And I give Mike Brown credit because at least he says, you know, if you're going to play for me, you got to compete on the defensive end. It's not like that with every coach. You know, this team we're going to face tomorrow, Indiana, they have made some defensive strides since Christmas. But when you look at them, they're just trying to outscore you. They're trying to push the pace, get up as many shots as they can, and outscore you. And so those lockdown defenders that we used to see, they're kind of becoming extinct because you got to be able to score in today's NBA.
Speaking of offense, are the Kings still an elite offensive team? We answer that when we come right back. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.